The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico, Field Yates, Matthew Berry, of course, Stefania Bell, and our entire crew, also Daniel Thopp, ready to get you ready for week one. We have football finally back. It was so great, so wonderful to watch football on TV last night.
It felt normal.
Yeah, it was good. It's good to see.
Like it was a good game. I didn't mind. I mean, like, I don't know. They allowed fans at Arrowhead. It was, you know, so I don't know how much of the noise that you heard was actual fans.
It was the rule.
So
I don't want to hit the bell because I don't want anybody's eardrums, and also I don't want to
touch say the word
stuff.
And not hit the bell, though.
I know,
Matthew
but
Berry.
I get nervous about a bunch of people have been touching that bell.
Respect for the
anyways,
process.
I don't care. Last
night, the rule this year, by the way, for those that are wondering, and we're going to get to football in about 10 seconds, but the rule is that if you, like, you're not going to have crowd noise pumped in unless you have zero fans. So
got it.
70 decibels for those that will be watching this weekend. You may hear noise. It just may not be from normal fans come Sunday. But let's
get... The point is, it felt like a normal football game.
Yeah, it was nice.
It was for a couple hours. It was great. It was great.
Hats off to the NFL, the NFLPA, and everybody involved in getting this season started on time. We hope that it maintains the kind of discipline that we have seen up to this point so we can have a full NFL schedule all the way until Tampa Bay in early February. But let's get right into this game. The Chiefs win this game 34-20, and to be clear, it was not nearly as close as the score would indicate. They just completely dominated the Texans basically after about the third drive of the game. Let's talk early impressions, just really early, Matthew, because it's 1 week and we want to be careful in overthinking things too much. But if you drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first round and it was probably somewhere between pick 4 and let's say pick 8 or 9, you have to be smiling last night because we saw a really encouraging start with 138 rushing yards on 25 carries plus a touchdown.
He looked great. He looked everything as advertised, you know, elusive, some really nice vision, had some really long runs. It was just like, oh, yeah. Oh, that's going to be fun. And you know, what's interesting is I didn't feel like the Chiefs dominated this game, to your point. Didn't feel like the Chiefs were fully in sync. Like, if you were grading the Chiefs' offense, felt like a B minus. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I didn't, you know what I mean? Like, it didn't, like, when I think about some of the games last year where we were just like, wow, you know what I mean? Like, so that's what I'm saying. Or even 2 years ago during Mahomes' record-setting year, like, it felt like they were good, make no mistake. But so my point is like, still felt a little rusty. And so, you know, you think about what this offense could be midseason, just like, watch out.
Yeah.
Like, this team could just roll people.
Reinforced a few things last night. He's going to be the guy. Darrell Williams will get some work. He had 7 carries last night, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire will be the guy. It also reinforced that the Chiefs are going to have lots of opportunities to score, even if they weren't their perfect selves last night. And he got 0 passing game usage last night. 0, which that unlocks another level to him.
Yeah. I mean, if there are 2, you know, negatives, to the extent that there were, on CEH's performance last night, it was the fact that he got no work in the passing game, which is what we expected. We expected him to get passing game work. He didn't last night. And also, he got a ton of goal line work and wasn't able to punch any of them in. His touchdown came on, like, an 8-yard run or something like that.
It was even longer than that. Yeah. Impressive, long 20-ish yard run.
That's right. Yeah. And so, like, other than he had one run down by the goal line to get them down there, which was a really impressive run where he broke some tackles. But other than that, didn't seem like he had a lot of tackle breaking ability once he got hit.
Yeah, he's certainly 5'7"-ish, 200 pounds. Darrell Williams could eventually get some goal line work, but we'll worry about that later on. Just for a couple of notes last night,
right.
Tyreek Hill.
To put a wrap on it, if you drafted CEH, you're thrilled.
Yeah, you feel really good about this.
You should be very, very happy.
I don't want to overreact. It's in the note. Tyreek Hill is great, but he under 75 yards in 9 of his last 10 games, if you include the postseason, Matthew. He also scored. Gary and Conley, Mike Clay, credit to him. It's not Gary and Conley, but Bradley Roby. Mike Clay noted this on yesterday's show that he was going to be a tough matchup for Tyreek Hill. He played him tough in 2 matchups last year. He played him again relatively tough last night. He did get the 1 touchdown, but when you're playing against the Chiefs, if a guy just has 1 touchdown, that's containing him.
Yeah, 100%. And honestly, like, they tried to get in a couple of times before. There were a couple of touchdowns that were called back during this game as well. But luckily, Tyreek Hill bails you out with the touchdown there. That was after one of those Clyde Edwards-Helaire failed goal line runs.
Yes.
But as somebody who has a lot of Tyreek Hill this year, I'm not worried.
Yeah, not worried. But one thing I think we're encouraged by, because I think the two big takeaways from last night's game are, one, Clyde Edwards-Helaire looking as advertised, and two, and this felt validated for us, was David Johnson, who had 11 rushes for 77 yards, plus a touchdown, his longest touchdown since 2016, plus three catches for 32 yards. Duke Johnson left the game with a leg injury, but even before that, David Johnson was clearly the man, and we're not going to overreact too much after one game, but this is the reason why you said to yourself in the preseason, I think he's got a chance to be a top 11 to 15 running back this year.
Yeah, I mean, slightly even higher. Like, you and I were both in on him. He made my preseason love list, and I talked about this a lot. The Texans need David Johnson to work.
Mm-hmm.
They need David Johnson to work because of everything they gave up in that trade to get him. And then you also think about the fact that we talked about this throughout the preseason, that prior to getting injured last year, he was a top five fantasy running back through the first six games of last year.
Yeah.
Just to the eyes, forgetting the numbers for a second, he looked like David Johnson. He looked spry. He looked, you know, looked like he had a spring and a step, new environment, new situation there in Houston. If Duke Johnson is going to be out for any significant amount of time, they'll sign somebody. They promoted somebody to the practice squad this morning.
Scotty Phillips. Yeah, last night.
Scotty Phillips. But ultimately, this is going to be the David Johnson show, and right. I think wherever you drafted him, you got a bargain.
Yeah, I believe so as well.
I believe this more than not. I was encouraged by Sammy Watkins' usage. Of course, we saw a big game
week one
of last year. Yeah. Like, but I do think you have to be a little bit concerned if you drafted Mecole Hardman as a late round flyer. It's gonna be a while before you're gonna be able to use him.
Anything else before we move on to the health questions?
The only other thing I was gonna say is that, just because very quickly, one line here, Will Fuller, 8 for 122, had a 32% target share. That's massive. And again, in a game in which the Texans offense seemed out of sync, Will Fuller, I think, is going to have a very, very big year, as long as he can stay healthy, of course. And just, Mike Clay mentioned this on Twitter, so I just want to give a shout out there. A lot of leagues have tight end premium scoring, or are, you know, you play multiple tight ends. Jordan Akins had an 82% snap share. He got into the end zone, only two receptions on two targets, but talented young player that they like there in Houston. Again, for deeper leagues, a name to keep on your radar.
I'm just happy you got the opportunity to talk about a tight end this early on in the show. Let's get to the health question marks,
sir,
because there are a lot for week one. And of course, we bring in Stefania Bell for all of the latest on these health question marks. And Stefania, we're going to start in Denver. And I'm not talking about Von Miller. Sadly, the Broncos had another star player get banged up in practice. What do we know about Courtland Sutton?
Right. This is a player you love, Field, and I'm now worried about his status for Monday night's game. He went down with a shoulder injury, a sprained AC joint. It's the same injury Mike Williams had. Usually you land on the point of your shoulder. That's how you injure it. I spoke with Jeff Legwald, who said he had that severe droop with your arm hanging down by your side after you get hurt. I'm still awaiting results of MRIs and such to hear what the severity is, but it sort of doesn't matter. If you're not able to elevate your arm overhead, you're not able to do what you need to as a receiver, and he's got a very short window till Monday, then he might not be able to play at all or be very limited, even if he does.
All right, Stefan, we'll be back to you in just one second. Matthew, if we don't see Courtland Sutton on Monday night, and we'll find out officially on Sunday, you might have to plan ahead, and be sure to watch Fantasy Football Now on Sunday morning. We start at 10 a.m. as always. We're going to begin on ESPN News. There's a F1 race. We're going to eventually be on ESPN2. But
once again, you're going to have to find us. But we're also on the ESPN app. If you have a cable provider. And we announced yesterday, the company did, that Field Yates is the new host of Fantasy Football Now.
They must have been out of options.
So very excited about that. Congratulations.
I might screw it up.
But do not worry. You'll be doing double duty. You will be hosting Fantasy Football Now, but you'll also be giving your analysis as well. But what I would say here about...
How about if Sutton sits? If he sits, because I think there's too many question marks if he does play, because you're going to have to make a decision.
Here's the thing.
I'm bailing on
Courtland
Sutton. That's fine.
And for a few reasons. First off, you're likely going to have to make a decision on Courtland Sutton versus somebody else Sunday morning.
Right.
And because it's the Monday night game and it's the late Monday night game, you may not have information on Courtland Sutton by that time. And then you think about the fact that you heard what Stefania said. Okay, like, even if he's active, he's going to be limited. Can he go up and make those, you know, the jump ball catches that we're used to seeing from Courtland Sutton? Can he do that? And then you also think about the fact that they're playing the Tennessee Titans. Three receivers. There were only three receivers last year who had more than 18.5 fantasy points against the Titans last year. Mike Evans, Tyreek Hill, and Michael Thomas. Now, 18.5 is obviously a big number. He could have 12 or 13 and still still be productive for you. But I think the Titans defense is going to be really, really good. I think this is going to be a fairly low scoring game. And so you've got a guy in a bad matchup that's hurt, and you're going to have to make a decision. This one feels like a stay away for me.
I think you could have just, right, you could have said differently. Hurt player, bad matchup, and you don't even know if he'll play. Let's maybe think about other options on Sunday morning. Again, we'll have more information for you. The Broncos are not obligated to issue an official game status until Sunday, but with excellent reporters like Leggy and, of course, Shefty and others, we could have more information on this before then. But, Stefania, let's go back to you because we have another major injury that took place earlier this week. It's Mike Evans. We discussed it yesterday, and another day without practice. Do we think there's a chance Mike Evans will be available for the Tampa Bay debut on Sunday?
I don't think we're going to know until Sunday. Bruce Arians already said they're going to take it down to the wire with him and see how he feels. And yesterday, Matthew may have missed it, but I gave him props for being concerned about Mike Evans preseason. Obviously, the hamstring injury that sent him to injured reserve last year. So naturally, you expect Tampa Bay to be conservative with him, knowing that that's how he ended his season last year. And I think if there's any question, they're probably going to either hold him out or restrict his usage on Sunday.
Matthew doesn't listen to the show when he's not a part of it, but he does have Google alerts for when you say nice things about him. So he actually tattooed what you said about him yesterday on his thigh.
To be clear, I don't listen to the show when I'm on it.
Oh,
I mean,
that's actually a very good point.
I'm sort of spacey, and then when your mouth stops moving, I'm like, oh, is it my turn to talk? All right, let me talk now. That's basically what I do here.
That explains a lot of things.
I will just say that I think Scotty Miller, for those of you who play DFS, for those of you who download but don't listen to CSS DFS, if we were doing BFS DFS this week, I would say Scotty Miller is kind of an interesting guy and somebody for deeper leagues because I think he gets some run in what should be a high-scoring game. Same thing with Mike Evans, that if he plays, look, you know, tough matchup with Marshawn Lattimore. He's likely going to be shadowed by him. He has struggled against him in previous matchups here. Yeah. Doesn't seem like he's 100% healthy. Would be hard to bench him given the investment you made in Mike Evans.
Yeah. I want to be clear that, like, I am playing Mike Evans if he plays.
Yes.
But I am making the decision on Courtland Sutton as soon as 1 p.m. on Sunday. And I know people are like, what's the difference? The difference is that you may have drafted Mike Evans in the back end of the first round of the deep league. Second of all, excellent passing offense, right? Sure. It is, neither one of them have a great matchup, but with Sutton as well, is that, like, you know,
play. Right,
well, I don't even know about that so much, but just as you mentioned, like, if you string it along until Monday, and next thing you know, you're like, all right, I'm starting James Washington instead. Like, I think in week one,
right,
there are other players you probably have on your bench.
Adam
already.
Humphreys, come on down.
Well, this goes back to what we discussed with Brandon Cooks yesterday, is that, like, if he didn't play, you probably weren't planning on starting him. But for example, the player I used, Sterling Shepard, based off ADP, is not being used as a starter right now. Right. I prefer somebody like that in my lineup without an injury concern rather than waiting on Courtland Sutton.
I'm with you on Mike Evans. My point here is merely that I think lower expectations for Mike Evans.
Totally.
And I do think Scotty Miller is a name that needs to be on your radar, not only for this week, but just for the future. He's had a very impressive camp. I know they like him a lot there. It is an offense that's going to throw a lot.
Brady hasn't Instagrammed Scotty Miller yet, but he has mentioned trust. And we know that's a big word in Tom Brady's vernacular.
Well, we'll see. Usually he does an Instagram like Sunday morning or Saturday night.
Ooh.
So we'll see who gets the gram.
That would be
my prediction. We should do that. We should do a weekly Tom Brady Instagram production.
Yeah.
I believe it's going to be Gronk this week.
Interesting.
You know, Gronk back together. Let's go get it. That sort of
thing. I wonder if he puts Scotty Miller up there. Is that a shot at Edelman? You know, Edelman is longtime beloved, former Ohio small college standout player. Scotty Miller, Bowling Green, also Ohio. I don't. Maybe it's
might.
Like,
it might.
You know.
Might.
Yeah.
Might be. Might be. We'll
could be it.
We will have to see. I mean, he put Philip Dorsett once on the gram.
Yeah. How did that one work out? Moving along to Kenny Galladay, Stefania, another wide receiver that was hurt in practice this week. And I'll be honest, this is a player who I think is due for an extension sometime soon. I was wondering if this is one of those where, hey, I'm a little banged up, maybe the contract is close, but he didn't practice yesterday. What's that mean?
Well, it's concerning, Field, because it sounded like Matt Patricia expected him to get at least limited work in on Thursday, and he ended up doing just individual work on the side. You never know with Detroit whether that's a proactive move to try and give him an extra day of rest before you put him in, hoping that he'll be available for the weekend, or whether it's really a function of this recency of his hamstring injury, teams are definitely aware of the fact that these soft tissue injuries have the potential to spike. We're going to see a lot of it in the first couple of weeks. I'm a little nervous about Kenny Golladay, but you're definitely going to want to see what he does today in practice.
Okay, we keep an eye on practice Friday in Detroit. Stefan, be back with you just a moment. Matthew, if he doesn't play, is there any Lions wide receiver you can play? I mean, it certainly catapults the value of Marvin Jones.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the solution here, is that he was being drafted as a wide receiver four, right? So
100%.
Crank him up.
In his career, when Marvin Jones sees 10 or more targets from Matthew Stafford, he averages 23.6 fantasy points per game. Yeah. And if Kenny Golladay's out for this game, 10 targets is certainly within the range of possibility for Marvin Jones, especially considering the fact their running backs are banged up too. DeAndre Swift may not play in this game.
Yeah, we'll get to that a little bit later on in the running back conversation, but I'm with you. Marvin Jones stands to benefit the most. I think probably besides that, you're not going to be dipping the toes into a Lions wide receiver for week one, but
maybe Hockenson moves up a little bit.
I was going to say that.
Yeah. He stands to benefit. I would say in terms of the wide receivers, you're not going to go to a Danny Amendola or somebody else further down the depth chart. Stefania, your beloved 49ers have all sorts of wide receiver injuries right now. Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk, these are not new injuries, but now that we have practice participation reports, where are we at with the San Francisco pass catchers?
Well, there was all this hope for Deebo Samuel, right, after he was not placed on the PUP list to start the season, and Kyle Shanahan sounded optimistic, actually, about potentially getting him for week one, but he hasn't practiced yet. Now, Shanahan hopes that he's able to practice some today, but I think, look, it's really iffy if they're going to put Deebo out there in the first week. And even if they do, you know they're going to limit his usage because this is coming off a Jones fracture. And you have to be a little bit guarded, especially in the early weeks coming back from that. So for me, fantasy-wise, I would think even if Deebo plays, very risky start, but I think the chance is small. Brandon Ayuk has a better shot to play. He did get some limited work in, and Shanahan has said as much that he has a better shot to play this weekend. But remember, he's a rookie, and he's missed a little bit of time with this hamstring, so I'm not sure they're going to rely on him too much. Don't forget, Jordan Reed, now with the 49ers, another pass catcher option they have, not a wide receiver.
Okay, Matt, thank you, Stefania. Matthew, if I give you a chance to play any pass catcher not named George Kittle this weekend from the 49ers, A, are you doing it? And B, if so, who is it?
I'm not.
Okay, I think that's what people want to hear.
I'm willing to pay up for George Kittle in DFS. I will say that.
Yeah.
I mean,
like the
against Arizona,
a lot, right?
It's a great matchup. Obviously, he's a great player. And you think about, again, limited passing options. Even if Ayuk and Samuel are healthy, you know, are they going to be limited? Like, I will say, just if you want to talk about sort of a deep sleeper, I do know that the Niners like Trent Taylor. And so I think you'll see some Trent Taylor out there. But other than that, so I wouldn't mind a flyer on him, I guess. Not in season long, but in DFS, you know, if you're in a tournament, it's kind of a punt play. But and I do think you may be talking about Trent Taylor on your waiver wire column next week.
It's possible. But, we'll get into some future waivers a little bit later on in the show.
I don't think in terms of season long, in terms of a 10 or 12 team league, that there's anyone other than George Kittle that I'm starting in the passing game for the 49ers this week.
Moving along right to Stefania with David Montgomery. And of course, this was an injury that looked scary at first, Stefania, but some encouraging news yesterday out of Chicago.
Right. He's back at practice, and I think it's now looking like David Montgomery will play in week one. And certainly when he went down with that groin injury, there was possibility that he could miss the start of the season. I'm still nervous. You know, these are the kind of injuries that can flare up on you again. But if he goes out and looks solid in week one, then you're just going to expect that they're going to continue to roll him out there until, if and when, he has some sort of setback. But as of right now, looking like David Montgomery will play.
All right. Thank you, Stefania. We'll be back with one more in just a second. I think this one's actually kind of easy. And what I mean by that is that if you drafted David Montgomery to be your RB2, it's probably because you were really patient on running backs, or you went, let's say you had the early pick and you got a Saquon, and then you ended up going wide receiver, wide receiver, tight end in rounds 2 and 3.
Right.
Maybe even wait until the 5th round.
Right.
And you probably, behind David Montgomery, have like an even longer shot. If you drafted David Montgomery as your RB3, keep him on the bench this week, right? Yeah. So if you draft him as your RB2, I think you're probably pot committed. The workload should be very good. As I was saying earlier on in the week, I expected David Montgomery to play. So the outlook, it's modest. I mean, I don't mean modest. I should say it's decent, right? It's a flex consideration, RB3 consideration, but I don't think too many.
He was a guy based on last year.
A lot of volume.
That was like the argument for David Montgomery was entirely volume based.
Yeah.
Right? He did nothing last year that impressed anyone.
Yep.
But they don't really have. I mean, they've got in the backfield, other than Tariq Cohen, who's more of a gadget player.
Right.
They have Cordarrelle Patterson, you know, who is
great. Love that guy.
Even though he's listed as a wide receiver in fantasy, he is a running back for the Bears these days. And Ryan Nall.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have a lot there. You know what I mean? And so, I do have a soft spot in my heart for Cordarrelle Patterson.
He's
I always
man.
Will. But, so it's a volume-based argument there for David Montgomery. And it's not a bad matchup. It's not the Lions don't scare you defensively.
Right. I think it's fine. So, last one here for the running back, Stefania, for the injuries, I should say, is Kenyon Drake. Of course, he has been active on Twitter with his own status. And he says not to worry. Should we be worried at all?
No. He gets a clean bill of health. If you remember when he was first seen in a walking boot, I said walking boots can be used for a variety of things, and sometimes it's just to offload the foot a little bit, even when you don't have a serious injury. Kenyon Drake said he was out of the boot within a couple of days, and obviously he was never dealing with something that threatened the start of his season. So Kenyon Drake, good to go.
All right, good stuff there. And of course, Kenyon Drake, if you have him, you're playing him. The matchup, remember last year, he had four touchdowns against the 49ers.
That's what I was just going to say, is this going to be a real litmus test, because the pro Kenyon Drake argument is like, oh, once he got to Arizona, he was a changed man, right? And the anti Kenyon Drake people are like, small sample size and let's see. And so he crushed against a very good 49ers defense last year in both games. I think he got there in time to play them both times, right?
Right?
And he had really good games both times against the Niners, including that one amazing game that you referenced. So the Niners remember that, right? And they're a little bit banged up on defense as well. But it'll be interesting to see, like, can the Niners shut down Kenyon Drake, you know, or can he crush once again? I think this is a real litmus test for which Kenyon Drake we're getting this year.
We keep telling people throughout the preseason, be patient with us. We got to sort some things out in the same way the teams have to sort some things out. And let's get to backfields. It might be a little bit muddy going into the season in terms of their outlook. We begin with the Buffalo Bills, who host the Jets this weekend. Devin Singletary, Matthew, actually makes the hate list this week. So, generally speaking, here's how we are approaching these backfields, and a reminder that hate is relative to that player's projection for the upcoming week ahead. How does Devin Singletary feel to you? I know he makes a hate list, so what's the reason for caution?
It's all about expectations. I mean, I have him ranked as running back 23.
Right.
Right? So as we head into Friday morning. So, I mean, like, I have him as a high-end flex, but it's just I think you might see, like, oh, starting running back against the Jets? Like, this is full speed ahead. My concern here is that Zach Moss, this is going to be a 50-50 split. Like, I know a lot of people are like, Zach Moss, he might eventually take that job over or work his way into a running back by committee. Oh, no. This is a running back committee from week one, right? From moment one, it is going to be a split between Devin Singletary and Zach Moss. Josh Allen is still going to be a threat on the goal line. That's, you know, those bootlegs and those quarterback keepers. He's too mobile and athletic. They're not going to take that out of the playbook. And so then you've got Zach Moss, who's a really good short yardage runner. My concern on Devin Singletary is that he'll get usage, but he's going to be splitting time with Zach Moss, and I think it's unlikely he gets in the end zone unless it's a, you know, 8, 15, 20 yard run. Like, when they get in close, it's either going to be Zach Moss or Josh Allen.
So going into the season, we all have Devin Singletary ranked ahead of Zach Moss, but it's important to remember the context here. Back-to-back players drafted in the third round, 1 year apart. So although our belief going into the year is that it's Devin Singletary's job and Zach Moss is the guy behind him, in terms of like shock scale, if Zach Moss takes over as the best ball carrier in the Buffalo backfield, that's like on a 1 to 10 scale, I don't know, a 2, right?
Yeah.
Like same level of investment and a bigger back. That's not that surprising. Going into the season, we have it one way, but let's keep an eye on that one. Same deal in Detroit. There's actually three backs, but we know that DeAndre Swift is uncertain for week one, which might, for fantasy purposes, actually be sort of useful, Matthew. And I was surprised by this to see that Kerryon Johnson made the love list for you.
Yeah, look, if ever there was a week to use Kerryon Johnson, this is the week.
Okay.
Because he's in a three-headed committee on a team that doesn't commit to the run, right? Mm-hmm. And when they do, they're going to use multiple backs. But DeAndre Swift is banged up, and I think even if he's active, I think his role will be minimal because he has missed a lot of playing time, right? A lot of practice time, I should say.
Yeah.
Then you think about Adrian Peterson, who just showed up like a week and a half ago. And like,
but that doesn't just, you know what's weird? Adrian Peterson. Doesn't bother me. That's the thing.
I know.
Weird.
Adrian Peterson is just like, Adrian, we're going to hand the ball off to you on the right side and you go.
Right. Run
like,
right, I mean, run like, left. That's all it is.
That's all it is. Yeah. I mean, Adrian Peterson's going to the line. But my expectation here is that to the extent they have a pass catching running back, it's going to be Kerryon Johnson in this game. And I think he gets the majority of work. I think when we look back on it, I think he will be the running back that has the most touches in this backfield. And so if you have DeAndre Swift in a you know, limited or no role at all, and I think Peterson will get some work, but you know, again, he's been there for a week and a half.
Right.
I think this is going to be Kerryon Johnson's largest workload game this year, barring injury to any of the other two guys. And so it's a matchup that isn't ideal, but it's not one that totally scares me.
All right. I just got to tell you, I meant to prepare myself for the Lions to stop the Bears on drive one, Daniel, have a huge stop, get the ball after a punt, return it 12 yards. Opening offensive personnel includes Adrian Peterson. I'm preparing myself for that mentally, right? Like, just because he's Adrian Peterson, this is what he does. Yep. But I'm with you. I think Kerryon Johnson is, if I had to play one, he's the one I'm playing.
Thirsty Kyle notes that running backs that got at least 14 touches last year against the Bears averaged over 17 fantasy points per game. So I'm just saying, I think this is a volume play, and I think in PPR especially, Kerryon Johnson, yeah, makes the love list. I have him. But again, it's all about expectations, right? Because Kerryon Johnson was sort of left for dead.
Right.
I'm at running back 28. Devin Singletary, who made the quote hate list, I'm at running back 23. Again, it's all about expectations. I think Kerryon Johnson exceeds expectations this week. I think Devin Singletary falls short. But again, if I had both guys, I'm playing Singletary over Kerryon Johnson. It's all about context. Always check our ranks on ESPN.com. Of course, I'm a company man.
Here's the one that makes me nervous. The Washington football team and Antonio Gibson. So we actually have him in consensus rankings at 22, Matthew. So the argument is not we haven't seen it before, because Clyde Edwards-Helaire showed us last night, if you're talented, you're talented. But I take the Washington football team at face value with their assessment that this is a true running back by committee. They kept a lot of backs on this 53-man roster. The Eagles are no slouch defensively.
No, they're going to be good defensively.
They are going to be good defensively.
Yeah.
The Washington team may not score very many touchdowns this year. I'm nervous about this one. Like, I am at 21, and part of me is wondering if I should make that 31. I don't know. How confident are you? You got him at 25.
Yeah,
I'm lower than you. You think about the hate list or no?
No, he didn't make the hate list.
Did you think about it, though?
No.
Okay.
I didn't. Look, to the extent they have a very good defensive front, the Eagles do.
Mm-hmm.
Washington has, you know, once again, like a questionable offensive line.
Right.
And I think the Eagles will be able to move the ball offensively against Washington. I think, you know, I think Washington loses this game. I will say, though, I think Washington plays them tough. But to the extent that there's a way for them to move the ball, I think it's going to be through the air. And I think it's going to be dump off passes. And so who are their pass catching running backs? It's Antonio Gibson and J.D. McKissic.
Right.
So I think that because of the dynamic playmaking ability of Antonio Gibson, he's got the best shot of a Washington running back to do something fantasy-wise, but I think your nervousness is well-founded. And again, I have Gibson at like 25, you say, and he may wind up a little bit lower. And by the way, if we know definitively that DeAndre Swift is out, like if he misses practice later today, Kerryon Johnson will move up from 28, and like Kerryon Johnson is somebody that I would play over Antonio Gibson this week, assuming that Swift is going
to
be out.
There are a few backfields that I wish I had the chance to see in a preseason game more than Washington, just based off of all of the elements involved. All right, the Colts go to Jacksonville. They're a huge favorite in this game. We have Marlon Mack and Jonathan Taylor to sort of sort through this weekend. Now, going into the season, the way we ranked them for the full season, for where you're drafting them, is that Jonathan Taylor is clearly the guy you want to have. For this week one, is it actually Marlon Mack you want to play?
I think it is.
Yeah.
They have been consistent in saying Jonathan Taylor is there to spell Marlon Mack. Marlon Mack is still our starter. Marlon Mack is the guy. And I think it's a little bit of coach speak, but I don't think in week one it is. Mm. And so in a game in which the Colts, to your point, are 8-point home favorites against the Lions, my expectation here is that this is a run-heavy offense for the Colts. That they sort of mow the Jaguars, and that I think you actually see a lot of Marlon Mack and Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
And so, you know what I mean? I think if they're up big, you know, they're going to get Taylor in there. It's not a Nyheim Hines game,
right.
But I do like Marlon Mack this week, 100%. Like again, it's sort of like, I think there's going to be a lot of weeks where you're not going to want to play Marlon Mack, but I think this is one of them.
I think so too. And Marlon Mack is not perfect, and there's a reason why they drafted Jonathan Taylor,
sure.
But Marlon Mack's also pretty good. He's a pretty good player. We liked him quite a bit in fantasy last year. Tampa Bay is very confusing, Matthew. We've been talking about this, I think, about as much as any backfield in the NFL this season. But I think Leonard Fournette has become the player that people are most interested and compelled by for fantasy. So out of the gates, he's ranked 38th in terms of consensus ranks for ESPN. You have him at 38 as well, Matthew. Dan, you got him at 25. Maybe I'll come to you, Daniel.
Yeah.
You're confident. You think this is his job pretty much right away.
I think that if there is any quarterback that is going to get the most out of a running back, regardless of whatever it is, this is the spot where Tom Brady can work with Leonard Fournette. And if you're asking me which one do I think is going to get the goal line carries, I don't think it's Ronald Jones. Maybe it's LeSean McCoy. But like, I would rather factor in the idea that you have this big bruiser of a running back that we know is super talented. We know that he can handle the workload. And if we think that that Tampa Bay offense is going to be as good as it is, the narrative that he can just fall into the end zone if that offense is as efficient as we think, yeah, like, not only do I think that he will have a decent week one if he can get into the end zone, but like, this should be his job to lose, knowing how talented he is.
Okay, fair enough. I'm a little bit less optimistic. I got to tell you, if Mike Evans sits, I'm a little nervous this game is not very close.
Ooh.
It certainly could be. Look, Drew Brees made my love list this week because, again, we sort of talked about this, I think, on Wednesday's show. I think throwing out all stats, just in terms of narratives, like, football players are human beings with emotions and ego and pride and competitiveness. And I am telling you, I don't know Drew Brees at all. I've never met the man. But I got to believe that Drew Brees in the home opener, you know, for a team that has gone deep in the playoffs the last couple of years, and all the talk this offseason has been about Tom Brady and not the Saints' chances at repeating. I think Drew Brees wants to put on a show here. And so, and we'll see what Tom Brady can do as well. But that's one of the reasons why I think, like, and again, in close, I don't think they're giving it to Fournette. By the way, it's a tough matchup. Saints gave up 7 running back rushing touchdowns last year. That was tied for 4th fewest in the NFL. And that's even if he gets the carry there. I understand what Daniel's saying. He is the most logical candidate for a 2-yard plunge, but I want to see it first.
Right. I
want to see
it first. As well.
And I agree with you. There is a chance the Buccaneers would not be the first team to come into New Orleans on opening weekend and get blown out, or at least, you know, be back on their heels and having to throw to keep up with Drew Brees and the Saints.
All right, let's talk about the Broncos. They play on Monday night, of course, against the Titans. That's the final game of week one. And I don't know, this backfield is actually that much of a muddied spot here, Matthew. I think a lot of people believe that Melvin Gordon should be the guy. He does make the hate list, though, this week. And is it just the matchup?
It's the matchup. It's a tough matchup.
Okay.
Here. It, by the way, if Cortland Sutton sits, or even if he's limited, right, that limits that offense. They have Jerry Jeudy there, but like, in terms of stretching the field, I think the Titans would say, like, you know what, we're going to take our chances with Drew Lock beating us. We're going to make sure we stack the box here. And also, all the reports out of Denver have been that Phillip Lindsay continues to be insanely impressive in camp, and this might be more of a 50-50 running back by committee split than initially thought. You know, everyone was just sort of like, they signed Melvin Gordon to the big deal and it's going to be his backfield now. And then everything you're hearing from beat reporters and guys in Denver is that Phil Lindsay's had an amazing camp and they think this is going to be, again, like,
might have to
50-50.
Go check the tape on a double trouble preview, because you gave me a lot of flack for suggesting that idea at the time. Maybe, you know, maybe just, well, you,
by the way,
the tape.
Guess I got news for you. Can we do the breaking news drop?
ESPN Radio breaking news.
Field, you're young, so this may come as a surprise to you, but it's time that we had the talk. Occasionally, I'm going to be wrong. It doesn't happen often.
Rarely.
It does not happen often.
It's rare.
Understand the raised eyebrows. I understand this is a shock to your system. But yes, I have to admit to you, sometimes I'm wrong.
Okay, that's
and
duly
sometimes,
noted.
And when you're wrong, there are some certain people that just dig in their heels and won't admit they're wrong.
Mm.
I am telling you that if I said that during Double Trouble, and I don't remember what I said 10 minutes ago.
Right.
So I have no idea if what
fair.
I said like a month
That's
ago. Fair. I don't know if what I said a month ago. But if I said that a month ago, I was wrong.
Okay.
Because I'm just telling you right now, from what we've seen through camp and what you're hearing from my sources, is that Lindsay's going to be more involved than you think. And I'm also nervous about this matchup as well. Look, I still have him as a top 20 running back. I'm at 18. So do you. But again, I think most people were thinking, like, Melvin Gordon, this should be, you know, this should be a smash spot, and I'm not convinced that it is.
All right, last backfield here is the Rams, who they play the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. The debut of SoFi Stadium should be a gorgeous venue to play football.
Yep.
We've all got Cam Akers ranked top amongst our Rams running backs. Sean McVay does sound confident, by the way, on Daryl Henderson playing on Sunday. He obviously has been banged up of late. Malcolm Brown, actually, he makes the love list, but like other receiving votes.
And the others receiving votes. I mean, again, this is all relative to expectations, you know. So I think there is a chance that Malcolm Brown gets into the end zone.
Okay.
Here. Like, I mean, again, like, so Cam Akers is a rookie. This is a big game, right? They're playing the Cowboys, Sunday Night Football, national TV audience. Henderson's not 100%. I just don't think Cam Akers immediately gets a full workload day one. And so Malcolm Brown, who is somebody they trust a lot in pass pro, they like him at the goal line. Remember, they would bring out Todd Gurley and they would use Brown some in the red zone last year as well. So they trust him in those key situations there. I think there's a decent chance that Brown gets into the end zone. And so, yeah, looking for a cheap option in DFS, you're in a deeper league and you're scrambling for a running back because, you know, whatever, you were planning on playing DeAndre Swift or, you know, somebody like that. Yeah, give me some Malcolm Brown this week as kind of a late flyer.
All right, let's talk Cam Newton in just a moment. But first, a couple pieces of information first from Daniel.
That's right, Field. Now is the time to celebrate. You know why?
Why?
Because football is finally back.
Woo!
And DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, has millions of reasons why you should be excited. To kick off the football season, DraftKings is giving new users a free shot at a $1 million top prize with a total of $3 million up for grabs right now. Getting in on this action is something you absolutely have to do. Draft everybody that you want. You find a quarterback, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, stay under the salary cap. You guys know what we're doing here. New users who sign up for DraftKings use the code FOCUS. They'll receive a free shot at a $1 million top prize with your first deposit. Nothing adds to the sweat of watching the game like having a shot at a $1 million payday. Download the DraftKings app now and use the code FOCUS. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot. Again, $1 million top prize and $3 million in total prizes. Don't miss the extra special week one bonus. Enter the code FOCUS for a free shot at $1 million with your first deposit. That's code FOCUS only at DraftKings. Make it rain with a minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details and check out the Fantasy Focus DFS podcast with myself, Mike Clay, and Al Zeidenfeld giving you all the DFS info you need.
Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your dog to make you breakfast in bed with Belgian waffles and a fresh fruit compote? As nice as that sounds, that's probably never going to happen. But at least there's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more.
All right, Stefania, thank you. And all this preseason, whenever you conducted your drafts, whether it was this past week, last night, who knows when, we've been sort of talking about the value of Cam Newton. And most people that drafted Cam did so as a second quarterback, searching for that upside, searching for the potential to Cam rediscover his form. But given the matchup, Matthew, given the fact that he is the starting quarterback in New England, are we already ready to thrust Cam into our starting lineup when you factor in some other great quarterbacks this week who have difficult matchups?
I am.
Okay.
I'm at nine.
And give me an example of a quarterback that you are starting Cam over as a result of that ranking.
I'm starting him over Kyler Murray.
Okay.
For, you know, look, tough matchup with San Francisco for Kyler, right? He's missed, Kenyon Drake and DeAndre Hopkins have missed a lot of practice time here. So I'm a little concerned about that. And then I think about Cam Newton at home against the Dolphins. And, you know, I mean, I know Miami tried to improve their defense this year, and I think it'll be better than it was last year. But they still have some holes. And so I think Belichick and Josh McDaniels in the home opener, first game without Tom Brady in a billion years, I think they want to make a statement. I think Cam has a big game here.
All right.
I think Cam fully healthy after 2 years is all wants to make a statement game as well. So I do think, give me Cam Newton over Kyler Murray this week.
I get where you're coming from. I also wonder how many people, given the investment they likely made in Kyler, will be willing to sit him this week. But I understand your line of thinking there.
I'm merely saying, if listen, it, by the way, I no, have them I, a couple spots. I know, I'm not questioning me. I just want to be clear for the listeners. If I had Kyler Murray and did not have Cam Newton, I would not drop a valuable player to go pick up Cam Newton and bench Kyler Murray. I'm merely saying, like, in terms of my ranks, I have Cam Newton higher than Kyler Murray this week, but I have it by a couple spots.
Right.
So I'm not saying, like, I don't think that couple spot difference is worth losing somebody else and benching Kyler. You understand what I'm saying?
I get you. And I think one example where it could be real is maybe you did something like a double dip of Matthew Stafford and Cam Newton, right? Two players that no one was saying 100% set it and forget it quarterback for the full season without any hesitation. That's an example of somebody that if I took those two players, I'd play Cam Newton over Matthew Stafford. I realize that's a fairly lukewarm take. But Daniel, yours is interesting here. You've got Cam Newton ahead of Tom Brady this weekend against the Saints.
Yeah. Yes.
Good.
You want to know why?
If you want to, sure.
I think that Cam Newton is going to come out slinging it. I think in a new place, understanding the person that he is replacing, all of the aura and everything that is Tom Brady. Like, I understand he said he's not focused on it. He's not worried about, like, replacing Tom. I just don't believe that.
Yeah.
You come in game one, like, you want to look good. And he's playing the Dolphins. And it's nothing against the Dolphins, but the idea that they come out there and they just sling it. They're out there just want to prove a point that, like, hey, we can still play even without Tom. This whole team wants to prove that, like, as much as they love Tom Brady, I got to feel like we can still win without him.
Yeah, all I want to see, I mean, what I want to see more than anything else this weekend is how much Cam Newton is used as a designed runner. I mean, no surprise he leads basically every category amongst quarterbacks since he entered the league. But the Patriots, obviously, we know they haven't had a running quarterback threat at all for the past 20 years. So I'm really interested to see where that marriage sort of meets in the middle. There are a bunch of new quarterbacks besides Cam Newton, including Tyrod Taylor, now the starter for the Chargers, and Joey B, Joe Burrow, now the starter for the Bengals. Matthew, if you had to choose one of those two quarterbacks to start this weekend, which, you know, people, I suppose, could be making that decision, are you more confident in one versus the other, or how confident are you in both of them?
Give me Tyrod Taylor.
Interesting. Okay.
I mean, I prefer the matchup. I prefer playing against the Bengals than playing against the Chargers. Let's start there.
Yeah.
Let's start about the fact that Tyrod Taylor is a good fantasy quarterback. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, we will see what happens, but when he was with Anthony Lynn in Buffalo, he was a top 12 fantasy quarterback for the 3 years he was the starter with the Bills, and that Anthony Lynn was there as, you know, running backs coach and then interim assistant coach and, you know, and a head coach. And, like, you know, there were a variety of roles that Anthony Lynn, he had a quick rise there in Buffalo. But, yeah, give me Tyrod Taylor over Joe. I just think you think about Bosa and Ingram, like, and you think about that struggling Bengals offensive line. Like, I think Joe Burrow is going to be running for his life in this one, right? And I think you've got a strong secondary there with the Chargers as well. And so, I have concerns about Joe Burrow's NFL debut here in a game. Again, he's had no preseason action at all. And Tyrod Taylor, you know, is a veteran, and he's had an up and down NFL career as a real life quarterback. But fantasy wise, I think given the rushing upside of Tyrod Taylor, yeah, I prefer Taylor this week to Joe Burrow, and I do think he's an interesting streamer if you have, you know, a quarterback that you're not 100% thrilled with this week.
Let's rip through a few of the pass catchers in this game, and it's not quite as simple as starter sit, Matthew, but using starter sit as a general premise. Keenan Allen this week. Starting him?
Yes.
Okay. Keenan Allen, top 20 for in terms of consensus rank, he's actually 16th. So although he might be ranked lower than where he was last year for obvious reasons, it's you know, new quarterback, he's still going to be a guy that you have to have in your lineup.
He's going to get a huge target share again. Mike Williams banged up. Like it's going to, the passing game is going to be, you know, Keenan Allen, Hunter Henry, and Austin Eckler.
Okay, well then Hunter Henry, obviously you're going to go with the start as well. How about A.J. Green on the other side of the ball? You starting A.J. Green this week?
I'm not.
Sounds like he's going to play, but, you know, I mentioned a couple of times throughout the week how we might see coaches be a little bit more judicious with their skill players because of the fact they haven't had a preseason. Last night was not a good night for that take because Will Fuller was an every down player for the most part. Obviously, David Johnson played a ton. We saw a ton of all the stars last night. Not as much of a rotation as I expected, but maybe Cincinnati is a little bit conservative with A.J. Green. Maybe a little bit.
But he's also going to be shadowed by Casey Hayward, who's a phenomenal cover corner. And, you know, look, for whatever, you think about that Bengals roster. But so Tyler Boyd, A.J. Green, Auden Tate, John Ross, T. Higgins. Like, they kept a lot of wide receivers, and there's probably somebody that I'm forgetting, too. I feel like there's one other guy that I'm forgetting. Maybe it's
Alex Erickson.
There you go. Alex Erickson. Thank you. Exactly. So, I mean, like, they got a lot of guys.
Yeah.
And so, I'm not saying any of those guys is a threat to A.J. Green, of course.
Sure.
Not even Tyler Boyd. But I do think, again, a quarterback that I believe is going to be under pressure quite a bit, a guy that's going to be shadowed by a very good cover corner in Casey Hayward, and, you know, an inexperienced quarterback. I'd rather, if I don't have to start AJ Green, I'd like to take a wait and see approach here.
Same thing with Tyler Boyd by that logic, obviously. We've got him ranked quite a bit lower than AJ Green, maybe half a dozen or so spots.
He's going to see a lot of Chris Harris.
Yep. Not a good thing for most wide receivers when they face Chris Harris Jr.
Yep.
But the wide receivers, it's not just a conversation about those players, but also those in New England and Indianapolis with new quarterbacks. So Julian Edelman, Matthew, ranked outside of our top 20, but we've been talking about this. He feels like a player that could wind up being one of the best values in fantasy this year. How much of a bromance will there be between Cam Newton and Julian Edelman?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a decent amount. I think he's a solid wide receiver 3 this week. I think he's a solid flex play. Touchdown equity is always a challenge there with Edelman. But again, like, we haven't seen N'Keal Harry or Demir Byrd. Is that how I pronounce his first name?
Yep.
I apologize. Demir Byrd. You know, those are going to be the two wide outs, out wide. But I think where you attack Miami, when you think about Xavier Howard and Byron Jones, and we'll see if Howard plays. I know he's been a little bit banged up. Yeah. But you think about the strength of that Miami secondary, it's the corners. And so where are you going to attack? You're going to attack the middle of the field. And so I do think Julian Edelman, you know, that passing offense is still going to run through him.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I can't wait to see. There are a lot of things I can't wait to see, but amongst them is all these new faces, maybe old faces and new places. And
yeah,
not that Edelman has left, but obviously it's much different with Cam Newton as opposed to Tom Brady. T.Y. Hilton, it's funny. So you're playing the Jaguars. Remember, for a long time in fantasy, it was like, you got to worry about the wide receiver quarterback matchup against the Jaguars. Not so much anymore. Confident here with T.Y. Hilton and the Colts offense going to Jacksonville. I think this is a big day for the Colts offense in a lot of ways.
I really do. And so, again, T.Y. Hilton, who was a little bit banged up earlier in the preseason, but now 100% healthy.
Yeah.
The question with Hilton has never been talent. It's just been health. Like, when the guy's healthy, he's going to be a target monster in a game that we expect the Colts to dominate here. So I have Hilton as a top 13 play this week.
Yeah, and again, as I said this yesterday, not all these end up mattering, but contract your guy. So keep an eye on T.Y. Hilton in the final year.
Could T.Y. Hilton be Keenan Allen to Phillip Rivers this year? Like, in terms of just a guy that he's always looking for on third down, just a guy that he,
I don't know about,
has a massive target
volume,
share.
Probably not, but I think 80 catches is reasonable.
Yeah.
I don't know about 100, like 110 catches. Like, that just feels unlikelier for a guy that has had really solid fantasy years where his catch total was in the 60s. So different player, obviously, but certainly the preferred target for Phillip Rivers, which is a good thing. Love Hate is out on ESPN.com. I encourage everybody to read it. Matthew, let's go a few of your players.
You're a company man.
Dun-na-na. 1, 2, 3 on the love list. We start with Drew Brees. We talked about this game plenty earlier on. You like him this week against a Buck secondary that I have been consistent with this. I'm not quite totally sold on it yet.
Yeah. In the 6 home games that Drew Brees played last year, he averaged over 24 fantasy points per game, 332 passing yards. He completed over 77% of his passes here. Home opener for the Saints. Yeah, full steam ahead. We'll see if the Bucs defense is as good as advertised. I think they could be, but I also think Drew Brees and Drew Brees at home is something special. And oh, by the way, they added Emmanuel Sanders, who I don't think he's a fantasy factor, but it's yet another legitimate weapon that if you're the Buccaneers, you've got to deal with.
Raheem Mostert, I'm in, Matthew, as well. I think he went from a player that I was a bit nervous about to now a player that I think is going to wind up being a big value this season.
I do as well. Look, no passing game usage really for Mostert, but my expectation here is that I talked about this. There's a wide range of outcomes for Mostert, but one of the range of within that range of outcomes, legitimately, is this year's Derrick Henry.
Mm.
This is a guy who scored 12 touchdowns over his final 9 games last year, including the playoffs.
Right.
Like if he becomes the goal line back the entire year on an offense that's going to run the ball and going to be one of the better offensive lines in football and a team that is going to be run heavy, yes, he is. He absolutely could be this year's Derrick Henry. I'm with you, obviously. He was on the love list in the preseason. You and I are both on board with him as a big value this year. And obviously, you love him against an Arizona Cardinals defense that last year gave up the 9th most fantasy points to opposing running backs.
Last one here.
And also, by the way, we talked about it, the fact all their pass catchers are you know, banged up, basically, other than Kittle. So you expect them to lean on the run even more than normal.
Last one here, and there's a health consideration. Deontay Johnson actually missed practice yesterday because
Correct.
Of a foot. So just put that out there in the forefront that, hey, if he's not playing or if he's banged up, then this changes. But if he gets back to close to a full workload by the end of the weekend and they play on Monday night, you love Deontay Johnson.
I do. I mean, so he missed Wednesday's practice again because it's the Monday night game. He missed yesterday, Thursday's practice. Yeah. But again, because it's the Monday night game, it's basically a Wednesday practice. And I wrote this, obviously, Wednesday during the day. So before the injury became apparent. But assuming he plays Monday night, yeah, I like a guy who was from week 14 on last year, the 12th best wide receiver in fantasy. And that was with
the
inconsistent.
Duck. Yeah.
Fantasy quarterback play, shall we say. So Ben Roethlisberger has been talking him up, and I just think the Steelers light the Giants up on Monday night. That is one of the worst defenses in the NFL, and it got worse over the offseason. And so my expectation here is that the Steelers have their way with New York, especially in the passing game. Big Ben's first game back here, and Deontay Johnson's going to be a part of that.
A few more snippets from Love Hate coming, but first, Matthew, a word from Shell.
Shell knows that between every tee up, layup, and batter up, that you can't wait to catch up with your favorite podcast. I assume that's us. I'm hoping that's us.
Yes,
better be Shell. So come to Shell and get three things done at once. First, fill up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus to help keep your engine running like new. Then save up with the Fuel Rewards program and never pay full price for gas again. Oh, and finally, shack up with the in-store rewards to save even more at the pump. Time to wrap it up. Make the most of the stop you need to make with Shell and engines that continually use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. See full terms and conditions at fuelrewards.com.
When it comes to scoring great hires for your business, you may be up against some obstacles, like lots of applicants, but difficulty finding the right ones for your job, or finding time to hire while running your business, plus trying to ensure workplace safety. That's why you need ZipRecruiter on your team. No matter the industry, healthcare to manufacturing to business services, ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier. And now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. First, when you post a job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 top job sites. Then ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology hustles for you to find people with the right experience for your job. This is one of those cases where hustling is actually good.
Correct.
And then invites them to apply. In fact, check out this stat. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So add ZipRecruiter to your roster to help you win the hiring game. To try ZipRecruiter for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. All right, Matthew, let's put a pin in the hate list. Just two names, and they're both big here. First one's Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. I mean, look, Mike Zimmer has had his number. Let's be clear about that. You know, think about this. The last four games that Aaron Rodgers has played against the Vikings, mm-hmm. he has 4 passing touchdowns total.
Yeah.
4 touchdowns in 4 games.
Zimmer's good, man. Zimmer's
right?
really
that,
good.
You know, he's passed for more than 220 passing yards only once in those 4 games. The last time Aaron Rodgers threw multiple touchdown passes in Minnesota, and the game is in Minnesota this week, November 22nd, 2015.
Wow.
I think it's going to be a good defense for Minnesota. Their secondary, still, there's some question marks in the secondary with Minnesota, but I guess I'm trusting Mike Zimmer more than Aaron Rodgers lighting up the Vikings here. I think it's going to be a run-heavy offensive plan for the Packers, as it has been all of last year.
And Le'Veon Bell also makes the hate list. Obviously, a lot of warning signs going into this season, Matthew, and they face a great defense on Sunday.
That's exactly right. I mean, look, in the 2 games against the Bills last year, Le'Veon Bell had 101 yards on 33 carries.
Wow.
A 3.1 yards per carry average. So he basically averaged 50 yards a game in each one of those games. And I don't think he gets the workload this week that he did last year. I think you see some Frank Gore here. And again, you just sort of think about the emotions of this game. Adam Gase loves him some Frank Gore.
Yeah.
Frank Gore used to play in Buffalo, right? Now they're in Buffalo. They get in close. Who do you think Adam Gase is giving the touch to? I think they're going to try to get Frank Gore into the end zone.
There's probably like a third string tight end. They'll put it fullback and give him the snap.
Yeah, I mean, knowing Adam Gase, who knows, right? It's hard to predict. But to your point, it just there's a lot of bad juju coming out of right. and bad vibes coming out of New York surrounding Le'Veon Bell and surrounding the relationship between Adam Gase and Le'Veon Bell. So you add question marks about will he get the full workload that you expect, and then a brutal matchup here. You know, so yeah, I have Le'Veon Bell. Look, I'm at running back 19, but like, you know, lower on the list than I normally would.
I wanted to zoom forward to a topic that I think is kind of fun. I think it's fun, especially in week 1 or going into week 1. But I write the waiver column. We'll be out again Monday, maybe even early Tuesday morning, depending on how the workflow goes early in the week for me. But here's an idea, Matthew.
Yes, sir.
Who is going to lead my waiver wire column on Tuesday? I think SportsCenter used to always do this with Paul Feinbaum, where on Saturday morning, they would write Sunday's newspaper headline on Saturday morning, and he would predict, hey, Ohio State wins big, whatever, Alabama defeats so-and-so, et cetera. So let's sort of write Tuesday's column on Friday. So let's just go back and forth. Just exchange names back and forth. You think that are available in over 50% of leagues that you think could make my waiver wire column. You go first.
I'll go. You want to go quarter by position or just in general?
Just whatever.
In general, I'll say James Robinson.
Okay.
You know, yep. Divine Ozigbo has been placed on IR. Reichwell Armstead as well is out. So I think James Robinson has that backfield along with Chris Thompson to himself. I think Robinson gets a heavy workload in this game.
Okay, so to make things complicated, I'll mention Chris Thompson, who's also on my list, only because I think he's going to have a ton of catches.
I agree.
As we just said earlier, we think this could be a game where Indy is up big. How about a quarterback?
Tyrod Taylor. We talked about him earlier, but Tyrod Taylor, as long as he keeps the starting job, should be a very viable fantasy quarterback. Better weapons than he had in Buffalo around him in Los Angeles, and we just know what rushing quarterbacks do in terms of fantasy points. It won't always be pretty, but I do think he gets his 17 fantasy points, something like that, and you're going to be like, oh, okay.
I'm sliding Joe Burrow into this column right now. He may be over 50% roster by the time that we get to Monday. Really love the players. I think everybody knows. And here's a streak I think he has a chance to snap on Sunday.
Okay.
The last 12 quarterbacks to be taken number one overall, their team has lost in his professional starting debut. Care to guess the last quarterback drafted number one overall to win his first game?
I believe. Oh, no. Okay. I was going to say RG3, but he was drafted number two overall.
Right,
he did win his debut, I think, against the Saints. Joe Flacco?
No, even further back than that. He was actually, I think, seven.
Matthew Stafford.
No.
Ooh. Oh, number one overall.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan wasn't number one overall. He was like number two, I think, overall.
He was third, yeah.
Oh, third, yeah.
All right, you're not going to get it. It's David Carr.
Oh,
2002, David Carr. How about that?
We sat here for another hour. I would have.
Right. Let's keep moving here. So how about a wide receiver you like for this weekend, Matthew?
How about Trent Taylor? Again, just sort of, I briefly mentioned him, but I know they like him. He was impressive in preseason last year. They don't have a lot of weapons in San Francisco in terms of the passing attack that are healthy. I'll say Trent Taylor.
Okay. Not to be confused with the reality TV star Paris Hilton, Paris Campbell.
Right.
Available in 69% of leagues. How about one tight end, Matthew, a player you've been pretty steady on throughout the preseason?
How about Blake Jarwin?
Yeah.
You know, like, again, I'm high on the entire Cowboys offense. And so I think the middle of the field is somewhere where you can attack Dallas. And so where you can attack the Rams. Sorry. Where I think Dallas will attack the Rams is sort of the middle of the field. And so with Jalen Ramsey locking up Amari Cooper, I love Michael Gallup here, but I do think, I think CeeDee Lamb gets a couple of shots and Blake Jarwin should have a nice game. Titans had a lot of success against the Rams last year.
Last one here for me is the War Room League Irish Twins tight end Eric Ebron, who has been very much promoting himself in fantasy this preseason. So I'm going to take him at his word. He actually, this is a crazy stat, but he did have that one incredible year in Indy. He leads tight ends with 22 end zone targets since 2018. I get it. It was way less steady last year, but this is a player that if he does one thing well, it's make athletic plays. Not always consistently, but he does have that athletic ability. I appreciate Matthew volunteering to write the week one waiver wire column for me. Look forward to you taking care of that duty. Let's move over to Kyle, who has a trivia question to round out the show. Oh, we can't hear Kyle.
Oh, no. Geico, trivia question of the day with the filibuster. Looks like Daniel's going to take over right here.
And Daniel, read the question.
Who has the best week one performance by a quarterback over the past five seasons? Here's a hint. He's an active player that plays in the same state now as he did then. I'm going to read it one more time. Who has the best week one performance by a quarterback over the past five seasons? The hint is he is an active player that plays in the same state as he did 5 years ago.
I'm sure this is obvious, and I just don't.
It is obvious, and once you hear it, you're going to be like, oh my, of course.
Okay, Stefania, are you part of this as well or no? Stefania is part of this. This is great audio content right here. Do you have a guess, Stefania?
I mean, look, there's only a few guys who've been around five seasons in the same team, which would keep them in the same state. So I don't know. Drew Brees?
Okay, so Drew Brees is Stefania's guess. I thought that when he said five seasons, he's the same player, he's been there for the, he is an active player that plays in the same state now as he did then. I thought it was a college curveball, like somebody who played college where they play their pro ball. Matthew, what do you got?
I thought about that too. So I put Drew Brees as my actual guess, but I also wrote down Case Keenum.
Ooh, that's not a bad one.
Which is because Case Keenum had 31 fantasy points. Right. I don't think that was it, but I just want to give a shout out to Case Keenum. But my official answer is Drew Brees.
Daniel noted this, that like when you think of it, you're like, duh, that's definitely it. So the answer is Daniel's twin, Ryan Fitzpatrick, who had a great year for the Bucs.
Tampa Bay, now in Miami.
Came out of the gates red hot. What do you got, Stefania?
Well, that was opening week, though?
I thought of Fitzpatrick.
Okay.
Did you?
He hasn't been there for five seasons, right?
No, the point is he's an active player that plays in
Miami,
the same state.
He plays
for
Miami, but he was in the same state.
Tampa,
he was in
so he's in Florida. That was
42 and a half.
42.3.
Wait a second. God.
Wow. Incredible.
Wait.
You're taking this one to the test.
I said...
What did you think it said, Stefania? Tell me.
Seasons, yeah. Same state.
You know what? Stefania didn't go to Harvard like Ryan Fitzpatrick did. She only went to Princeton.
You'll
get some layup. I'm so upsetting.
That was
upsetting.
We got to go. Big news. Fantasy football now on Sunday. Myself and Matthew and Stefania find us on ESPN2 after a start on ESPN News. Good luck. Set your lineups. Talk to you then.
RotoPass.com, RotoPassDaily.com. Check it out. Peace out.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.